Hey, good morning, everybody. Let's get y'all in here. Today is coaching, and this is the first time this month that we're going to do open coaching. I know I look a little rough today. I just got off of a 12-day trip, and this is the first day I'm waking up in my own bed. I have literally slept on so many couches the last 12 days. I don't travel well, and so I just kept sleeping on couches. And like today, my face is swelled. I couldn't even fathom putting on any more makeup this morning. And my hair is dry. Like I was like, what happened to my hair? I'm gonna have to do like a conditioning treatment to it this week. Like, whoa. Mish, I'm bringing you up. Mish is one of our new coaches, y'all. And then, so here's how today will work. It is just open coaching. In order to come on screen, so before you raise your hands, here's what I need you to do. You need to be able to clearly articulate what it is you want coaching on. You need to be in a quiet room, no walking around, no driving, no restaurants, nothing like that. Because I want you to think about, we want to keep the quality of the call high for our replay listeners. So if you meet all of that criteria and you would like to get coached today, all you have to do is raise your hand. And then I'm just going to start calling on people one at a time. All right, Mandy, you're up first. Mandy must be the only woman in no BS who needs a coach today. Look at her, just lonely. She's like, here I am, the broken soul of no BS. Mish, you're going to, yeah, there he goes. Well, now somebody raised their hand for a hot second and they lowered it. Like, oh, I don't know about that. All right, Mandy, what do you want coaching on?
Hi. I didn't think this was really going to work.
Okay. No, it's working good.
I have like three different things that are, and I think that those three things combined are what kind of halting my progress.
Okay, so your progress and your weight loss is halted?
You're going to say it's not, but I feel like it is because I did
lose last
week. No,
that's fine. I'm not
going
to correct you on it. I'm just trying to figure out like what the problem is.
Yeah, just like
tell me what you think is causing it.
Okay, just like getting out of, sorry, sleeping baby. just like getting out of my own head kind of. I feel like I make a lot of excuses for things, and I'm constantly trying to find I can't just like make a decision and go with that decision. It's a constant, like, what am I going to do? Like last week it was, do I stay with no BS or do I go to my old diet? Actually, that's been a big one for a long time. I'm constantly back and forth.
Let's do that, because I'm going to tell you right now, if the other diet's better for you, I'll be the first one to say, go do it. All I want for you is weight loss. Here's what I don't want for you. Vacillation, negotiation, angst, comparing, riding the fence, all that stuff. That's just bullshit.
And that's what I do.
You're never going to lose weight if you're sitting around debating things. Like, you can debate or you can lose weight, but you can't have both.
Right. And I feel like I constantly make an argument. Like, I was like, all right, I posted in the Facebook group. I got so many good responses from people. It was wonderful. And then I was like, all right,
you're not losing weight. Before we decide which diet, because here's the thing. It's clear that no BS and the four basics are not working against your thoughts, which means if you go to your old diet, you're just going to substitute tactics against your thoughts. So unless your thoughts clean up, it doesn't matter if you do the old one. It doesn't matter if you do the basics. It doesn't matter if somebody staples your damn mouth shut. You will figure out a way to rip your lips open if your thoughts are in the deuter.
Right.
Okay.
And that's what happens. I'm constantly like yesterday it was, okay, I'm no BS. But then yesterday I argued with myself, do I want to track digitally or do I want to use pen and paper? Like that I'm constantly.
Even, let me tell you, that doesn't even
matter. I know.
Like literally, why are you not losing weight? It's not because you can't decide whether or not it should be on paper or on the computer. You're not losing weight because you're shoving food in your mouth at a pace that doesn't allow weight loss. Why are you overeating? That's your question you got to answer. Because no matter which diet you pick, no matter whether it's paper, whether it's digital, whether you're listening to me, listening to somebody else, if you don't get control over why you're eating, you're just going to spend money somewhere else. And then you'll start thinking, well, maybe I should go back to no behaviors. Maybe I should be doing keto. Oh my God, my friend's doing Octavia now. Like, shit.
Right. And so I think that's part of my problem. I don't know. And I will be honest.
Tell me when was the last time you overate?
Yesterday.
Okay. Perfect. It's always so good when we can look at some recent history. Because we have recent history, it's like kind of fresh in our mind. So tell me what happened yesterday. Why were you overeating yesterday? Like, what did you eat? How much? What time? What was going on? Describe to me yesterday's overeat.
The afternoon, I had on my plan crackers and cheese. And I was like a little hungry, but I wasn't really hungry. I could have just drank water.
What is the difference between, this is a really good question for you. What is the difference when you say, I was a little hungry, but not really hungry? What does that even mean?
I feel like you were
a little hungry.
I feel like I tell myself I'm hungry because I'm tired. We were home all day yesterday. I was chasing my daughter's 18 months. I was chasing her around all day. By like 3 o'clock, I need a nap. And it's like, if I'm not busy doing things at that time, like, you know, sometimes I'm like getting ready for dinner or whatever I'm doing in the afternoon. So I try to find like ways to keep myself busy, prep dinner early. So I'm not like eating.
Why are you trying to keep yourself busy in the afternoon when you're tired?
Because that's when I go ape shit in the pantry, and I have for my whole life.
But I don't understand. Why are you keeping yourself busy? Listen to my question.
Okay.
Why are you keeping yourself busy when your body is physically tired?
Because if I don't, I will turn to food.
That's not why.
Okay. But that's what I do.
Well, that's probably what you're telling yourself.
Right.
But I want you to think about, this is why you're eating, because what does your body need?
Rest.
And you're saying like, no, you know what I should do? I should either go to the pantry or I should get on another diet. Cause the next time I'm tired, I bet if I'm on another diet, I'm just going to be like, no problem. That kid, right, today is great. Cause I got another diet. Right. I feel good now. You're not going to feel good on any other diet. This is what I was telling you. Like, unless you start addressing that when you're tired, you should sit your ass down instead of being like, I'm going to eat. Like, tell me what happened. Tell me what would happen in your mind realistically, not like what you think I want to hear. Let's say we go rewind the tape and we go back to yesterday and like day plays out the same. You're exhausted. You've been keeping up with your 18-month-old, all the things. It's 3 o'clock, you're tired, and you're like, I'm not eating, I'm going to rest. I'm just going to lay here, and if she plays, she can have an iPad for all I care. Mama is resting right now. What would go on in your head if you did that?
I would feel like I'm not doing right by her.
How would you not be doing right by her if you
rest? Because I'm not like playing with her, keeping her busy, or like I'm just giving her something to do, and like I feel like I'm ignoring her.
So how is it when you are prepping food, cleaning and stuff, how's that, like, is she now like,
because I like let her like run around, like if I'm
can
like,
you let her run around while you lay, like what is the difference between her running around when you're prepping food and keeping busy so you don't overeat and running around while you're giving yourself your needed rest?
Because she like gets into literally everything. So I feel like as soon as I sit down, I have to jump up and be like, what are you in now?
Okay. But why not do that instead of eating? Like, this is where I want you to see. You've got the classic mom guilt. You have it in your head. I can't rest. I need to keep busy so I don't eat. But then if you rest, you're not keeping busy so you don't eat. You're eating because if you rest, you beat yourself up and say, I'm a bad mom.
Yeah, sometimes.
Not sometimes. You literally just told me that if you sat down and rested, you would be like, I'm not a good mother. I'm not playing with her and stuff. I got news for you, Mandy. When you're busying yourself so you don't overeat, you're also not playing with her. You're also not giving her your attention. You know where your attention is? On trying not to eat. You're not connecting with your daughter anyway.
Right.
Except when you're doing all that busying, you're also not connecting to your truest needs. So everybody gets ignored now. Mandy's ignored. The daughter's ignored.
Right. Yeah. I feel like if I can sit with her, like if I can get her to sit with me and like watch a show or something, then I'm resting and like, I'm not ignoring her. But if I sit,
like, I want you to think about this. When you rest, that doesn't equal ignoring your daughter.
Right.
That's what's going on in your head. I rest equals, what's her name? Do you care about sharing her name?
No, her name's Sadie. Sadie.
Oh, that's a cute name. That was my first assistant's name. I still talk to her to this day. I always called her my sprout. She was about this tall. So Sadie, like when you rest, Mandy, how is that helpful for Sadie?
Because I'm better for her if I'm rested. I'm not as agitated. I'm not as easily annoyed. I have more energy for her.
Oh, more energy for her. When you are overeating food, does it create you into the mom you want to be?
No, I get mad at myself.
You get mad at yourself. And then how does that impact Sadie?
I guess not good, because then I'm in a bad mood. I mean, not that I take it out on her, but I'm, you know.
But it's probably easy that if she's doing something a normal 18-month-old would be, you probably get, you may not yell at her and stuff, but you probably get at least internally exasperated.
Sometimes.
Yeah. So you remove your connection a little bit. You disconnect a little.
Yeah.
Like you're not doing Sadie harm doing that, but you're not giving her the best of you either.
Right.
Giving her the rest of you.
Yeah.
Now let's also take, let's say it's the afternoon and we're fucking exhausted and we're really tired and we need rest. And now we go and we busy ourselves in the kitchen. How is that so helpful for Sadie or not?
I mean, I guess I tell myself it is because I'm not just sitting on the couch and like, if she's running around, she'll run and she'll come up to me and like, you know, sometimes I'll pick her up so she can like see what I'm doing. And
so if you're resting on the couch and she runs up to you, you're just like, ugh.
No, no.
So right. Let's say little Sadie with her cute little face, you're laying on the couch, just like, girl, just go over there and destroy whatever you need. I've given you a safe place to make the biggest world's mess because I'm laying down. And she comes over and she's excited. What would you probably do?
Nothing. I just grab her and scoop her up.
Oh, so now you're both winning.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Your weight loss is not going to happen with the four basics, and it's not going to happen with a different program. Your weight loss is probably a matter of you figuring out how to cut yourself some slack about being a mom and not wearing yourself out. Because this happens so much with our moms, is that we are so socialized. Like, it is just in the water, y'all. Like, literally. That as women at this state, like in this time, that we are supposed to be a 50s mom while also doing everything else. There's no rest for the weary. And, you know, it's just got to come to an end. I don't know how to tell any of you other than have compassion for yourself that your brain is lying to you. If you are letting your child watch some TV because you need some rest, you are not a pariah in the motherhood world. That is not going to destroy your children. It's going to allow you to show up better for you. It's going to, like, when you start getting some rest and when you start, like, and I don't mean just like physically laying down on the couch, but when you give yourself some emotional rest, like a safe place to land as a mom, and you think more about what a great mom you are, you will see your urges going down. Because right now, I think they're fueled. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I think that's part of it too, is that I get so in my head that I'm like, I don't know what to do in terms of diet or like, I know whatever I do, I'm going to do, I have to do forever.
Like, that is such bullshit, Mandy.
Well,
I have to guess you have 1,000 diet rules in your head. A lack of knowing how to lose weight.
No, you're like, I know that. I know. My mom tells me that all the time. She's like, you know what to do, just do it. But so part
tell
of me
what you think you're supposed to do.
I don't know.
All right. So,
because I was made fun of my entire life. The kid that made fun of me lives behind me. And I don't want that for her.
So if we don't want it
and
for
I
our
feel
dog,
like whatever I have to do, I have to figure it out right now.
No, you don't.
So that I can help her form good habits.
No, you don't. Let me tell you right now, you trying to figure it out right now is not helping her. All of this pressure you're putting on yourself is the exact formula to keep overeating. I want you to think about this. How many of us are just so good with dealing with immense pressure, guilt, and shame that we're like, that's what I need in order to lose weight. Like, if I could just feel all that more often, I bet I would lose more weight. It's like, no, the reason why we eat is guilt, shame, all the things you're creating for yourself. Here's what I want you to think. So take a deep breath, because I want you to, like, you don't have to do anything. And I promise you, Mandy, if you leave the program to do something else, I will support you 1,000%.
I don't really want to. I'm so easily influenced by everyone. I don't know why, that I see all these people that I used to do this program with online on Instagram or whatever. And as soon as I see it, I'm like, oh, look how good they're doing. I should be doing that. But can I tell you, I've tried to do that.
All of them.
I know. I've tried to do that 1,000 times.
Stop. Get off social for a while. How about you fast on social for like 30 days? Just so you can stop getting triggered. Like, I'm going to tell all of you, you can do thought work all day long. I am not anti-thought work y'all know me. I love working our mind, but sometimes we got to call uncle and we have to actually just change our circumstances a little bit because our brains are not in the space. I'm going to tell you right now, Mandy, you are not in the headspace to be seeing other diets. If you want to lose your weight, you have to be looking at you way more than what you're looking at on the online and what other people are doing. And I think that's the big problem. You're looking so much outside. What's Sadie thinking? What are they doing? What's that new diet? You're looking at all of that. And guess what? You don't know what the fuck you want. Right. You don't even understand that you're tired.
Right.
You're not listening to Mandy at all. You've disconnected from Mandy so much that you don't even trust yourself. So we're going to trust ourselves right now.
Okay. I know this is where I'm supposed to be. I know it deep down. And I've tried to lose my weight since I've had her. And because of no BS, I hit my pre-pregnancy weight yesterday morning. And I've been trying to do that.
Weight?
Yeah, but in my head, something's still not right. I told you, you were going to say I wasn't.
I swear to God. Why did you not lead with that?
because I said, you're going to say that this isn't true. I lost 2.6 last week, but in my head, I still can't wrap my head around like that I'm doing it right. And I guess it's for like all the reasons that we talked about.
All right. And let me tell you that it is for all those reasons, but let me tell you, this is so hilarious that you're bringing this, because I just got back from San Francisco with, for all of you who don't know what a mastermind is, it's a small group of individuals and we get together twice a year and we coach each other and we talk about our businesses, and we're all female, like business owners and stuff. And so, and I happen to be the most successful one of us all. And so usually when I go in here, I don't really have a lot to talk about in terms of my business. I like to go because I love to give to them and I've just known them for so long. Well, anyway, this time I had something. I was like, oh, I'm going to give you my numbers. And my thought is I'm failing. Every number is up, Mandy. I am the 2.6 loss in hitting pre-pregnancy weight. And my thought was, I'm failing. And I started crying just like you. And just like, I don't understand. Like, you know, I don't know what happens in my brain. I just can't be happy with anything. Like I was on a full on tear like you, but I'm going to give you the coaching that I got. And then I'm going to show everyone that I'm wearing my workout shorts because I overslept this morning because I'm on Pacific time now. I have to work out this afternoon, which I hate, but I'm doing it. But I'm going to bring it over and I want us to just figure out what your next 30-day plan is. Like, these are the things Mandy's going to do. And then I'm going to have you check in with Ask Coaches, like literally, Mandy, every day for 30 days. I don't think you're going to be able to get over this unless you're actually posting a question and working on some of this mom stuff and some of this confusion that you have. Like, it's not going to happen without it. Okay. Yeah. So we're going to turn up the fire of you feeling better about yourself. So here's what they told me. Sometimes, like, and for all of you, our brains get really caught in a loop. This is where I want to be. This is where I am. And no matter how good I'm currently doing, I'm just not there. So everything feels like a failure. It's like, no matter what you do, it's like, it's not fast enough. I'll never get there. I should be further along. Like everything is tapping on some kind of inner, I need to be here. And I do that naturally. And so my coaching was, every time I start doing that to myself, when I start feeling disappointed, when I'm not where I'm at, like on the weeks where let's say something happens in my business or you get on the scale and it didn't move as fast or didn't do whatever, I'm just to remind myself, I am the kind of person who's disappointed first and succeeds second. And I think that's where you're at. Like if you're actually succeeding, but your brain doesn't give you credit for it, your brain is just fixated on where like you're going and where you should be, then at some point we just stop trying to feel good about things. And we just say, I can handle some disappointment. I can handle some urgency. I know me. I just want it so bad, but this is what I do. I feel yucky right before I take a lot of good actions. How, like when you hear that, I mean, and if it does not land with you, just say like,
no, it does. Like,
that does not help.
I've been trying to lose the baby weight since she was born. And when I finally got on the scale and I hit that number, I was like, I was so happy for like a second. And then the rest of like, during part of the morning, I'm like, why am I not like so excited? Like I literally sat and asked myself that question. Like I've wanted this for 18 months. I've wanted to see that number on the scale. Yes, it's just a number, but I've wanted to see it. And here it is. And I'm not like jumping for joy. I don't understand. And like, I'm at that
you know why she's not jumping for joy? Because the rest of her life and all of her worries and all of her concerns are still sitting there. That's why you're not jumping for joy.
Right. And like, I'm smaller.
Goal weight doesn't make you happy.
Right. And like, I'm smaller, like size-wise at this weight than I was before I got pregnant. Like I'm wearing clothes that were in my closet that I couldn't wear when I was this weight before I got pregnant, but they fit me. But like, why am I not
So what do you make it like? What are you thinking about it?
I was just like, why am I not like so happy right now? Because I've wanted this for so long. And then like, the more I thought about that, then it's kind of like what you just said, that like delayed happiness, like you beat yourself up first. And then, so it took like a little bit. And then I finally started thinking about like, yeah, this is great. Like I finally started to like turn it around a little bit.
Yeah. So Sorry. For all of you, this is really common. This is why I keep telling y'all, quit thinking you're going to be happy when you hit goal weight. You're going to see the number and you will be proud. There'll be like this one, like, yes, I did it, whatever. But then you just have to look at the rest of your life. And if you're looking at the rest of your life, like your brain knows this didn't fix anything. This just got me smaller. This just means I accomplished this. This just means I can wear these clothes now. That's all that means. But I still got to go take care of my 18-month-old. I still got to be tired as fuck at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I still got to, you know, and if I'm tired and I want to take a break, well, I'm a bad mother. Like your brain knows everything that you talk about inside. And so it's like, Mandy, like that's great, but don't get too excited because the shit show of your life is still waiting, honey. I mean, I think essentially what our brain does. That's why for you, you already know, like I'm going to tell you right now, you already know how to lose weight. You just told me, like, if you've done all this, knowing what to do to lose weight is for sure not your problem.
Oh yeah. I know.
Would you agree that if you hit your pre-pregnancy weight and you are smaller than that, than you have been, that there is no stall, there is no flaw?
No, I think part of me is afraid that it's not going to last or it's not going to continue, or I'm going to regain because I've regained like the old diet I keep telling you I want to go back to. This I regained on that so much.
So this is a lovely outfit. My shirt doesn't even match the workout shorts I picked. I just, you know, I'm glad that I have y'all as my membership, because some of my other colleagues do not have a membership where they can just show their janky outfits like I can. All right. So let's make a list of the top 5 thoughts Mandy probably needs to work on. And then, I mean, you're going to ask coaches. If you want to feel better by the end of like 30 days from now, you need to be like every day doing a TDL on one of these. TDL is a thought download for anybody who doesn't know what that means. You need to do a little thought download and you need to take it to ask coaches. And I mean, literally use them every day. Okay. So The first thought I think is for sure, which is I'm afraid I'll gain it back. The other one that I've heard you say is it's all about the mom guilt. I think I would like work more on that, that me taking care of me is wrong. And why? I think you could probably get a lot of help solving for why you're taking care of yourself so wrong. And let's figure out how to untangle that story. What else is worrying you these days?
I feel like I'm not doing, I don't know. I feel like I'm not doing what I should be doing in terms of like following no BS, but I'm doing it and it's working and it's easy for me. And when I tell you that when I decided like I'm not going to do the old diet, I want to just do no BS. I immediately felt like this weight come off of me that I had on me for like 2 years.
Okay. So like, what is it like, that you're not this doing frees it? Me. When you say I'm not doing it the no BS way, like what jumps out to you in like that you're saying like, this is how I'm not doing it no BS?
I feel like the old diet I ate when I followed it, which was rare, let's be honest. I ate like you had to eat a ton of vegetables, like a ridiculous amount of vegetables. And it kind of made me like hate I love vegetables, but it kind of made me hate eating vegetables in that volume. And so I feel like because I'm not doing that with no BS, because I get to eat whatever I want, I'm doing something wrong.
Okay. But that's not following. How are you not following that? You're actually doing no BS. I just want to point out.
Right. Yeah.
That's not following no BS. You were telling me that I feel like I'm not doing no BS. Like, what is something that you're not doing?
I don't know. I mean, I make a plan. I don't always analyze my plan like the next day. I don't always go over and
Is there a reason why plan. You don't assess it?
Not a real reason. I just, I get up at 20 after 4, work out, take a shower, she's up. And then my day goes. And then it goes, okay. it goes till she goes to bed. And I feel like I don't take the time to just sit and do it.
Okay. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I just was curious if there was something glaring. So your next thing,
I guess diet, I feel like.
Here's one. Diet rules.
Yeah.
I no longer won't. But can't let go of.
Mm-hmm.
Do that and take that to ask coaches. You'll do several different, you'll want to do that over and over again. So just take today's diet rule that keeps popping up for me that I can't let go of is, and let them coach you on it. And you want to tell them and why. So make sure you're including why. So if anybody else is going to do this, if you, one of these lands with you, when you go to ask coaches, one of the best way to be able to get help from them is to take here's the question I asked myself. Here's the answer that came up for me. And this is why it's so hard for me to let go of it. This is a lot of times you can even phrase it this is what I'm afraid of. So our brains, I'm going to teach this at No BS Excuses Camp this week, but your brain has three reasons why it makes up excuses. It's fear, usually. A lot of times it's, I'm afraid that if I let go of this rule that, I will gain weight or I won't be doing it right. The second is usually uncertainty. So a lot of times we have excuses or we, don't do things because, I don't want to do this because I'm uncertain of that. So if our brains don't have certainty, they get very frozen and very paralyzed and they kind of get in that. Yeah. So you want to always be clearing up uncertainty for yourself. So that's why, I asked you about the nap. I think one of the reasons why you weren't resting is I think you didn't know why you were not doing it. You just were getting busy and I could just tell there's something going on here. And so I wanted to be really clear on, and for you, this is exactly why, your body is saying, I'm fucking tired. I just need to lay down. I need a break. And you're like, oh, I've got the answer. Let's go over here and get busy. It's the opposite of what your body is screaming for. And you're like, but oh, so being busy is good. You need food. It's like, no, your body is going, I fucking want to sit on the couch. That's all I want to do. And you're just like, you're wrong.
Right.
And so when we really figured out why are you so polarized against laying down? It was just mom guilt. We got real clear. So the third reason is usually lack of what they call lack of purpose, lack of passion, not really knowing why you really want something. If you're not really compelled towards something, it's really hard to get the energy to go towards it. So it usually comes down to one of the three. Honestly, for 30 days, these are big topics. I don't even know if we need to keep pushing. If you work on these literally for 30 days, I want you to just imagine in your life for 1 second, Mandy, that if in 30 to 60 days, you were no longer afraid you're going to gain your weight back. You were more like, I feel pretty sure I know what I'm doing. When my brain wants to say I'm gaining my weight back, I now have practiced how to calm it down. And tell it we're doing the things, we don't have to worry about that anymore. At the end of 30 to 60 days, if you didn't feel wrong and guilty every time you did something for yourself, probably would feel better.
And yeah, I mean, sometimes I feel bad when I shave my legs and wash my hair in the shower on the same day because I'm taking so much time. Like, it's, you know, it's crazy, but
it's not crazy. It's socialized. Literally. Do you know what socialization is?
Mm-hmm.
That's all that's happening. We like, you can't escape it. No woman can escape the socialization. It's just, it's so everywhere. Like, if you watch television at all, you are going to see like a mom who goes off to work and then she comes home and then she's cooking dinner. Like, you rarely see the dads cooking the dinner and stuff. Like, we just see everywhere we look, like how women should be.
Right.
And that wears on us all of these years. And that's why it feels like I'm doing something wrong when I shave my legs. You know, like, it's like, and then we laugh. We're like, you know, when I say it out loud.
When you say it out loud.
But when I'm shaving, I'm like hurried and panicky and just been like, you know, no telling what she's doing. Oh my God, I need to get out right now, you know. All right. And I think, but then the diet rules too. Like, if we could just, we would probably never erase your diet rules, but we can get to where when you hear them, you don't feel like you're doing something wrong. We can get to where we can hear them and understand why they're there.
Right. And I think the fourth one for me is that I'm so easily influenced by just seeing something.
Yeah.
Like I said, like, I go online and I see like all these girls that I used to do that with. And I'm like,
but then I try to remind myself. I'm triggered by social, or what is triggering me and why. That will give you a lot of insight into what you perceive as important and valuable and like a reflection of you and things like that. But my biggest suggestion is work on these and stop looking at this for a little bit. Just cut this out for a little bit so that you can get focused here. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Mandy. It's good stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
I love coaching mothers.
Thank you very much. And happy birthday almost early.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.
Here we go. Erica M. I like how y'all were like slow rolling on coaching when we came in. I was like, oh my God, only Mandy's got a problem. And now there's 30 of you with your hands raised. It's like, oh no, Corinne, there's plenty of us who are a wreck. All right, Erica, you need to turn your camera on. You need to get your, there we go.
Video. There we go. Yeah, it was slow to give me the requests. There we go.
That's all right. All right. So what are we coaching on?
First off, that was good stuff. My daughter and my son-in-law, who you both met at different events, are in the background calling it the Mandy call, knowing it's going to be on repeat in my house. Totally different reasons.
That's so awesome.
Just spoke to me. But, and just really, when you said, I'm the kind of person who's disappointed first and then succeeds second. I think I just about like fell off the couch because I think that really super resonated with me. And I am coming down to camp this week if I can get a car.
Okay.
And I think that's why I'm on the call is I've had a heck of a year and I have pushed like myself to like confront all of the things as they come up and work through them. And I give Coach Lisa a lot of credit for that. She's helped me through a lot of great stuff. She's an amazing coach. But I think I've kind of reached this point where I feel like so many things have happened that I don't feel like myself entirely. Like my nervous system is really just like on fire all the time, to the point where like I'm catching myself coaching myself in my dreams now and saying, like, I could feel the anxiety coming up and I'll be like, oh, that's anxiety. And I catch myself trying to push it away. And I'll be like, no, no, you got to let it roll through you. But then I don't know what comes next. Like, I let the anxiety kind of wash over me. But when my nervous system is like this, like, I think if I tap myself anymore, I'm going to get a black eye, you know, like, I don't know how to kind of get myself where I need to be, because
Well, what do you think comes next after you process emotion? And that's all we talk about, like, that for all of you, that's all that means, is that when you decide to feel like basically bad on purpose, because everybody's going to feel bad half their life anyway. And then some of us, we try to not feel bad. We try really hard to escape it. And then some of us are just like, you know what? It was kind of like what I was telling in the last story, where my friends basically said, I don't understand why are you not just disappointed? Like, don't you want to be disappointed sometimes if things aren't going the way they should? Don't you want to be angry at people sometimes? Don't you want to be those things? I was like, yeah, I do. So what's going on in your life? Like, why do you think let me say it like this. What do you think the big problem is right now? Not like a situation. Like, what do you think is the big problem with your emotions right now?
They're very intense. And I had like a lot of family disappointment, like family outside of my house. And some really big hurts, and there's a lot of estrangement in the family, and it's going to be permanent. And they've always kind of used my emotions like against me as far back as I can remember. And
how can somebody use your emotions against you?
I think it was a lot of saying like, don't be angry. Don't feel this, don't feel that.
Is that using it against you?
Well, they would say that was the reason why I deserved the treatment that I got. And
that's their opinion, but how is that using it against you?
Well, now I'm using it against myself, I think.
Okay. That's what I wanted to see, because yeah. People can gaslight you like that all day long if they want to, but you right. have to decide if you're going to throw kerosene on their fire.
I think I believe to some extent it's true. Because I went through a very long period of time. I mean, I'm 55, I just became a flamingo this past month, so I'm very excited. But, the most exciting part of getting older has been joining that group, and they're amazing. But I did go through a period in my 20s where I was really, really depressed. Okay. And I think I've feared experiencing emotions for fear that it would go back to that place. And then
let me ask you this. When you say, like, let's think about when you were depressed, mm-hmm. was that because you were feeling all your emotions, or did you get depressed because you were trying not to feel all your emotions?
I was journaling on that this week. And I think I was afraid to be angry because I was kind of in a situation where I was stuck. And I think that's where a lot of that came from. And I've been like writing on that this week, because I've been really just trying to get it like all sorted out so that I can go to camp this week and do the work that I really envisioned, you know, when I signed up and
But I mean, that's just good for you to know.
Yeah.
Like, when your brain wants to say that, like, it sounds to me, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, that you need to decide what your relationship with emotions is, instead of just believing what you've been told. You've been told your emotions are wrong. You've been told, like, probably that you overfeel, that, you know, like, you shouldn't feel that way. Like, you've probably been told a lot about your emotions. But now that you're 55, Erica needs to tell Erica, but here's the truth, honey.
I feel like it's always the too much. Like, I even have convinced myself that to have my feelings is too much, and that they're the reason why, like, my feelings are the reason why I'm not successful in a certain area, or why I,
what, like, if your feelings aren't too much though? Let's just talk about that for a second. How could your feelings never be too much?
Maybe my feelings aren't too much, but the way I express them is probably too much. Like people say, like, I get loud and I get animated when I'm excited, or I just...
So does my son. So do I. Hell, I'm the worst. God. Good luck beating me on that one. Let me just say.
Like, I do have a lot of exuberance sometimes, you know. But
I this is what I want to coach you on.
Okay.
I want to coach you on, what if your feelings aren't wrong? What if everyone in your life has been wrong about your feelings and you're trying to operate from a broken narrative? Because here's what I'm hearing. I do not want you trying to figure out your relationship with your emotions that you feel based on what someone else has told you is appropriate. And it sounds like this group that's even been telling you, you're barely speaking to them anymore or something. It's like, it sounds like they have some shit ass opinions to boot.
It's tough. In this past couple, I mean, I've had like multiple surgeries from injuries and just things that happened in my family. But the biggest one is my siblings and I are all estranged. And I found out when my dad, who has dementia, or we found out was starting to get dementia, and said that he felt like he couldn't live alone. And we were making arrangements to have him move up here from South Carolina up to Ohio. And so we were going down for the last 2 years, like helping him clean up his house and like looking at houses here and like all this other stuff. Like we were like in it, like real estate agents, lawyers, the whole thing. And then we went down at spring break and discovered that he'd been lying to us the whole time, that he had signed away his entire estate. I had been written out of the will 2 years ago by my brothers, and that my brother had powers of attorney.
And what was your feeling about all of that?
It doesn't matter who I am. They're still, they don't believe anything about me that's true. And I,
that's your thought, but how do you feel?
The story of my life, of course this happened. This is the way they've always treated me. And, okay.
And then how does that make you feel? Like, give me an emotion. You're giving me a lot of your interpretation of it, but I want to know, how does it make you feel? Cause you're worried about your emotions.
It validates my worst fears. It validates my worst fears that
you're still giving me thoughts. An emotion is
feel unwanted. It makes me feel unwanted.
Okay. So I feel unwanted.
And I fear that I just keep recreating these unwanted situations when
you did not create this situation.
But they keep telling me that
Erica, I don't give a fuck what they said. I'm going to tell you the story.
Okay.
From what you told me.
Okay.
You were all in on helping your father. You found out that he lied about everything, and somehow you were the wrong one.
Yeah.
How?
I wasn't. Everything I was doing was coming from the right place. And I feel like the accusations that are being made that I was just doing it for money. And like, I've had so little contact with my brother that
Wait a minute. I know you want to tell me so much of this story, but the story is so irrelevant. It's about your feelings. So they all say you were just in it for the money, but you know, you weren't.
No, I wasn't.
There's one opinion that matters in the world. It would be great if they all got on board, but there's only one opinion that matters when it comes to your feelings, and that's yours. And what I want you to see is, I don't want you to hear, like, you know, you were in it for the money, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh my God, I'm unwanted. You know what I would be feeling? Pissed. You got it wrong.
See, and pissed is the place I won't go. Like, I need to be pissed. This is what I had a problem with, you know, 20 years ago.
You're too busy believing them. You're too busy listening to everybody telling you how you should feel and what your motives were. Instead of being like, no, I need to listen to how I feel. I need to listen to what my motives were. And if I'm in alignment there, then I get to feel whatever the fuck I want. I get to feel compassion for myself because I'm upset that they're wrong about me. I get to be pissed at them if I want to be pissed at them because they're wrong about me. I get to feel resolute that I did the right thing. Like, I get to feel a lot of emotions, a lot of big ones to boot. And then when you parcel out, this is how I really want to feel, your reactions will be different. But when you are trying to feel the way they tell you you should feel, and you are just believing what they say and not even questioning it, even when your internal, like, your body is trying to tell you,
yeah,
Erica, they're wrong. And you're like, well, I don't know. They said this. I'm not even
saying anymore. Now they just won't answer me. And like, big shit goes down. And I don't even get the tiniest bit of respect. And then I just don't respect myself.
Exactly. The only thing we can do is solve you respecting you. We cannot solve them. But I will tell you, you will live an amazing life. All of you hear this. When we have tough situations in families like this, you will have an amazing life when the majority of your life, you are in integrity with you. You believe in you. You honor you. You love you. You listen to you. When you're feeling all of that, you have space to be like, and they're wrong. I don't even have to be super upset. I don't have to be anything. They're just wrong. And I'm not overreacting anymore because of it. If they're going to sit over there and be wrong, they're going to sit over there and be wrong. And they're going to miss out on this. And if they change their mind, I'm open to it. But I'm not open to gaslighting. And I'm not open to interpretations that aren't real. I just call that being smart. I don't call that overfeeling. They're calling it overfeeling because they don't like how you feel. They want you to feel a different way.
Yeah. They don't want me around at all. You know, because they're the ones stealing the money. I just didn't want my dad to die alone in that house, you know?
Yeah. So you did the right thing.
Because they're not taking care of him. No.
And you can be hurt about that. And you can be upset about that. You have all the permission in the world to feel how you want to feel. You are not wrong. Don't let anybody in the world make you wrong. Because here's the magic, y'all. When you really start doing this stuff, you really start like, I care so much about me that I'm going to really look at this. Is this how I want to feel? Are these thoughts that I'm having, are these the ones I want? Sometimes we do change our opinions. Sometimes we see, like, here is where some fault might be with me. Like, I see me thinking this. I definitely want to clean this up because I feel bad when I think this. Then sometimes you're like, oh, hell no. This is exactly how I want to feel. If people are calling me a money grubber, when I was literally trying to take care of my father, probably supposed to be pissed about this, probably supposed to be disappointed, probably supposed to be hurt. This is the exact emotion I need in this situation. What do you think?
I feel like I'm teaching myself for the first time, like, how to, like, live in my emotions. Like, I really, it's what I've been thinking about lately, because I've been just working on this journey about just even loving myself. And I actually wrote you a letter that I read to my coach like 2 weeks ago saying, like, I used to think that 4 years and not getting to my goal weight was a long time and no BS. And I realized that my parents never gave me the tools that I needed to love myself. They had no idea. They don't love themselves. They had no idea how to teach us how to love ourselves.
Yeah.
And I've spent the last 4 years using the program to learn how to do that, like as if I was a little baby. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like 5 and I'm figuring out like, how to like me.
I will tell you, when you've been the person in the family, this is for all of you who have grown up in similar dynamics. When one of the hardest things about becoming an OBS woman is we do learn to love ourselves and we learn how to take care of ourselves and we learn how to do things without feeling guilty anymore. And we become a different person. And for dysfunctional families, that's very threatening.
That's it right there, because my brother hadn't talked to me in about 8 years and he was shocked to find out that I've been teaching for the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he just always saw me as this loser. And right. When he realized that I was a different person and I've gone through this program and we had a conversation, and because I called him 2 years ago and said that I was concerned about Dad because I had gone to visit him at Christmas time and he was not right. Mm-hmm. And he just kept telling me I was lying and he tried to gaslight me and it wasn't working. And he got so mad. He hung up the phone. And he hasn't talked to me since. And everything has been through like third parties. And even now he won't talk to them because he cannot stand the thought of finding out that I'm a different person now. And I took care of everybody. And I was took the brunt of the family. And
yeah. Because they could always deflect the negative feelings they didn't want to feel onto you. And then you'd feel them all for everybody. And now when you're not doing that anymore, they're like, I just want to tell all of you, sometimes what happens, and it's usually, I will just say like 70 to 80% of the OBS women, you're going to do all this work and the people around you are going to love it. They're just going to be like, oh my gosh, like you're easier to live with. Chris tells me all the time that ever since I found like coaching and stuff, he is like, our marriage has taken off. He said, we had a good marriage. He said, but it is a deep one now. He's like, he told me this not too long ago. One of the reasons why he loves me so much is because I don't need him to love me anymore. You know, when we first got together, he had to love me twice as hard because I didn't love me. And so he was constantly, you know, he had to really watch what he said around me because I was easy to get pissed or like easily hurt, like every little word, just like, you know, and if he worked late, I made it mean that he must be off cheating on me or like, you know, we could never be married if he was going to like work extra. Like I was very extra in my thinking because I didn't love me. And now like, I'm very independent. Like, I'm just like, hey, if you need to work late tonight, just go do that. Like, I'm just like, I can entertain myself because I actually like being with me now. I didn't need him with me all the time because when I was alone, it was a shit show. Now, when I'm alone, it's relaxing. So for a lot of you, you will see so many of your relationships, the right relationships in your life will improve. People will notice and they will notice it way more in your weight loss. They will comment on, you are just fucking happier. You are easier to be around. Like, what's gotten into you? Then we have like the 30% of the people in our lives who are a drag on life and they're used to gaslighting us and they're used to running us over and taking advantage of us and having their way with our mind and our emotions. And when they can't do that anymore, it threatens them. They don't know what to do with you. And it probably makes them have to feel the things they've not wanted to feel because they've been blaming and accusing and doing, they've been deflecting. So just watch for that. But I'm going to tell you right now, you have told me nothing, Erica, that signals that you can't feel your emotions, that they're too big and that you're doing them wrong. I think everyone's been telling you that, and you have let that be part of your story. I want you to try for the next 30 to 60 days thinking, however you're doing your emotions, hey, I'm doing this absolutely right. This is how it's supposed to be. and they're wrong.
See, I think I had that piece, like I was letting the emotions wash over me, but then I was still judging myself afterwards and
yeah,
just not getting to the point where I felt like I was okay. And I can see so clearly now, because like the estrangements are like, I mean, my world is tight, strong, but tight, small. And like, I have an adult son who hasn't talked to me in 10 years. And it's the same situation of just, I was the one that everything, all the blame could fall on. And now it's dug in so deep. I know that the chances of him coming back are pretty small, because something would have to change big in his life in order for him to be able to interact with me the way I am now. And the very first time that you coached me, it was like 3 years ago. And I remember getting on and saying, like, I started to realize that there was this whole different thought process in the world. And I was so mortified with myself for like looking back going, oh, why couldn't I have been that person back there? Like, I wanted the time machine.
Yeah.
And I hear that a lot when I talk to some of the Novius women, like we all want the time machine when we can go back when our kids were little. And now it's like, you know, they're getting to the age where they have grandkids or might have grandkids. And they're like, God, I want to go back and like do that again. So that my, you know, like, I don't have to look back and cringe, you know? So it's kind of
never,
like,
for all of you, everybody's going to fuck their kids up in one way or another. Never look back and cringe. Just look at them now and do your best. I could easily go back and look at all of, there's like things that like, I wish I could do over and whatnot. I always find that to be an exhausting thing to do to myself.
Yeah. And I'm exhausted a lot. It's been, you know, the big issue is that I'm stupid tired all the time. And the thing that I wrote down from Mandy's call that I realized was that you said, you know, about resting, being able to lay down and rest. And the thing I wrote down was, if you rest, but your brain doesn't, you may as well stay busy. And I think that's what I do.
Oh no.
You know, that's the thought that I have, though.
Because here's the thing, y'all. If you rest and your brain goes apeshit, then you're getting the information you need to work on in your four ends.
Okay.
If you go get busy, you're never fixing why you can't rest. That's just like ignoring your feelings.
I started to learn some of that this year because I had like a big ankle surgery in November and I was like not walking for 3 months. And I really had to figure out what grace and like self-care meant. And it was painful at first to I felt like that's what we need,
like running from your emotions and running from your self-concept. It like think about it. How many of you want to spend hours and hours a day running as fast as you can? Said no one ever, because it wears you out. And yet that is what we try to do when we're like, you know, I'm taking a break. My brain goes haywire on self-loathing. I should be doing this. Like, you know, you should be playing with your kid. Like, if you don't do this, you're a bad mom. The answer is not to go get busy, because then your brain is just saying, it's like going to keep you in the loop of, you don't deserve rest. And if you do, this means you're bad. That's all you're doing, is every time you go get busy, you just confirm the story one more time. The best way to do it is to lay there and be fucking miserable and let your brain like throw spitballs and wads at you the whole time. And you're like, this is such good information to know that when I'm resting, I think all these things. This is my next step in weight loss. It is to redefine what taking care of myself is. It is to be able to sit with me and not beat myself up. It is to be able to sit with myself and not have unrealistic, unchallenged, ridiculous standards that I'm just letting run my life. That's where our work is. That is why we lose weight here in such a different way. All right, I got to move on to the next person. Thank you so much. I hope you get to Nashville.
I will get there. I'll see you on Thursday.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Share. Let's get you unmuted and
start. Hi there.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. I'm in shock.
Why are you in shock?
Because it's the first time I'm asking to join. Because okay. I'm one of those persons who would always forget to sign up for these things, you know, and I'm looking like, oh, it would be nice to be coached. So this is really great. Thank you.
Oh, good. What do you want coaching on today?
The thing is, I have two things that I'm struggling with. One of the things is that I can't get myself to go to the gym ever since I think ever since the second time we had to stop to go to the gym because of the COVID.
Okay.
So before I used to be very active, but now I can't get myself to go back to the gym again. And okay. for some
so
reason,
that's it's problem really number one is unmotivated to go to the gym.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Okay. And what was the other one you said was?
The other one is the thing that I noticed that I was able to lose a lot of weight before. But I got stuck, and I think it's something that the people before me, the issues had, that you were, that certain thoughts came up that I had to work on. Uh-huh. And I'm just a bit worried that when I start to lose again, these worries will pop up again.
Okay. So if my worries will come up if I start losing weight.
Yeah. So then this sort of self-sabotage thought, I guess. That's okay. Stopping me from losing weight.
So, but the more accurate thing is my worries will come up if I start losing weight.
Yeah.
Okay. Which one do you want to work on?
When I see them, they're equal importance for me. So I find it because I think they are related in a way because it's the same thing that's blocking me.
Okay. Let's do this one.
Yeah.
Because I find this one super interesting. And can I just give you a big tip for unmotivated to go to the gym?
Yes, please.
You're not going to be motivated. There's like for all of you. If we have a perfectionistic fantasy that we are going to be like, oh my God, I'm going to wake up one day and I'm just going to be like, oh, like that's never happening ever. Here's what it really looks like when it comes to what just sub in unmotivated to go to the gym, unmotivated to follow my plan today, unmotivated to make a plan, unmotivated to assess a plan, unmotivated to go to ask coaches, unmotivated to listen to a call, whatever it is, insert your bullshit here. And here's what you tell yourself. It doesn't matter if I'm motivated or not. I can drag my sorry ass to the gym and get started. And one day it will feel easier. Today's the hard day. Like we have to sometimes just tell ourselves the truth. The only thing standing between you and the gym is you thinking you need to feel like going before you go. And you don't need to feel like it.
Oh, but I used to be a gym bunny. So
one day you'll be back there. That's yeah, not today.
Totally. Yeah.
And this is what gym bunnies forget. So I'm a gym bunny. And I am very unmotivated to go work out after this call. You know what gym bunnies really are? They're people who go to the gym on the days they don't want to go. That's a gym bunny. Because I promise you, Cher, back in the day, if we had a time machine, you did not feel excited every single time you went. There were some days you went because you identified as a gym bunny. You're like, no, I just go. Like, no, this is no excuses Monday. I am going no matter what. There were days that you didn't want to go and you talked yourself into it. There were days you made yourself go. You're just forgetting that part. You're just looking back at her like she was perfect and always happy. And it's like, no, she for sure wasn't. Why are you laughing? Is that true?
It's so true.
Yeah. So you still are a gym bunny.
Yeah.
The moment you go to the gym because you don't want to, you have become an athlete then. We're going from gym bunny to athletes. All right. So we'll just say this one's solved. What day are we going to the gym?
Tuesday.
All right, you're going to go Tuesday. Are you in any of the Facebook groups?
Yes, I am.
I swear to God, you better post in whatever Facebook group you are in and you better tag my ass. I want the selfie of like, here I am doing it when I don't want to.
I will.
All right. That can be your gift to me. My birthday's on Wednesday. It'll be like an early surprise.
Okay. I'm on European time. So probably we'll make it sure that it will be your birthday. Yeah.
There you go. All right. Here's number two. This one's super interesting. Your worries are going to come up when you start losing weight. Why is that a problem? Your worries are here now. You're worrying that this is going to happen. So you're like, I'm not going to lose weight just in case worries come up.
Yeah, I just was writing down when you were talking to Mandy before about the things that were sort of, what sort of thoughts are coming up. And it's, I think it has something to do with what you told her about things are not being solved when you're lost a certain amount of weight, because that's the thing I noticed. Yeah. And for some reason, it didn't scare me at much then. I kept going. But now, for some reason, it's really scaring me so much that I'm not looking forward to getting there in a way.
What is so scary? Like, if you had to identify something that's very scary, what would you say that is?
Well, that I'm not able to be as sociable and as nice for some reason. Once I lose the weight, if it makes any sense, because I know.
Why can't you be as sociable if you lose weight?
Well, because I, for one, I wouldn't go out as much.
Why?
Because it's, I feel I, on the one hand, I don't have enough time to do it because I need to spend more time on myself in a way. So I need to sort of, feel that I have to lock myself away if I want to focus on me, that I can't really do it when I'm out and about with people.
How, but when, like, let's really think of this through logically. How much time do you need to be focused on you every day in order to make the changes you need?
Well, it's a bit difficult to measure in time, but I feel that I have to be really selfish. And it's just, it means I have to go to the gym. I have to make sure that I cook on time. I have to.
All right, so let's just pull it apart because your brain's trying to make this complicated.
Yeah.
And it's not as complicated as your brain's trying to make it to be, okay? And this will help you kind of get over some of the fear. Going to the gym, how much time, and you include your travel and coming home, how much time a day is going to the gym going to be?
About 1.5 hours.
Okay, 90 minutes. A day, most days of the week.
I think how many days a week? Four days a week.
Okay, and like your cooking, I'm going to make my plan. Let's do it with the plan first. So if you're going to do your no BS plan and you're going to assess how much time is that?
But I think it's about 45 minutes max.
It takes you 45 minutes to plan your food and assess it?
To do the, and the assessment.
The one page assessment?
Yeah. Okay. It takes me 10.
That's why I'm just wondering why it's taking you 45.
Because I'm not really, I'm one of those people who thinks quickly, who doesn't like to think. I need to get in the zone to think about certain things. And there's some feelings coming up. So that's the thing. There's some feelings coming up.
You're probably doing a little bit more journaling and doing a little extra thought work. Okay. Yeah. This is the reason why I wanted to clarify it, is I didn't want all the people who were like, I knew it. Planning takes 45 minutes a day. She's doing bonus work, everyone. All right. So I'm going to call it 45 minutes because you're actually doing the self-reflections and you're doing a little bit more. Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. So that's daily. And then like prepping of your food and stuff. Like how long does it take you to eat each day, to be ready for food, that kind of thing?
I usually, If I have stuff at home, because I'm not very good at doing grocery on time, I think it takes about 15 to 30 minutes to prepare the food if I have dinner.
All right, so we'll just say 30 minutes. Okay. Anything else on taking care of you time-wise that I need to know about that would prevent you from having a social life?
I work full time, but that's not really, and
But
I
that's
have to
not taking care of you.
take
Like
self
that's
care.
not
No, that's not
work.
taking
Yeah.
care of me. No, I don't sleep very well, so I tend to take some naps here and there. So that's just something, be at the certain
So
times
we're
of day.
talking about 3 hours a day, 2.5 of taking care of you. Well, I'll give you three plus the, do you work 8 hours a day?
Yeah.
Okay. 8, 9, 10, 11. And you're gonna sleep. Well, you're probably not sleeping eight, but I'm gonna give you eight.
I'm not sleeping
16,
yet.
17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. We have 5 extra hours every day of the week, and sometimes another 90 minutes because we don't exercise on those days. Could you be social during those times?
I can.
Okay. The only reason I want to show you this is because your brain is saying that if I take care of me, then I can't be social. And if I take care of me, now I got to be selfish. I don't think this is selfish. I think this is normal, reasonable. I got a lot of words for it, but selfish isn't exactly the one. And it looks like it has space for you to be able to take care of yourself while also being social, building a social life.
Yeah,
Am I wrong? And tell me why.
the thing with the social life is that it conflicts with the times that I want to go to the gym. I feel like I have to make choices, like or I go to the gym or I go
4 days a
out
week,
having
you're
drinks
going to
with
tell your
people.
friends. These 4 days,
Yeah.
I don't go to the gym. These other 3 days, what do y'all want to do?
Yeah.
I got time.
Yeah, but it's such a great narrative, you know, because I feel that I have to be, because part of being selfish is make sure that I do things on my own time and when I want to do them. And the
That's not
circle
being
of friends,
selfish.
I don't know why I call it selfish. That's the weird part, because it's like you make it seem so simple, and it is simple. But for some reason, I feel like when I take out for myself, time out for myself, that's so unusual and so special that it's something that's it's a big effort in a way, if it makes sense.
It is a big effort. Why is that bad?
Speechless. It's not a bad thing, but for some reason it feels so. It's so against what I'm used to do. I'm not gonna say
So, what are
I
you
think that's
used to
it.
doing? What are you used to doing? Because that's very interesting. Like spending time on me and what I most want goes against what I'm used to. So what are you used to?
I'm used to drop my own schedule the moment there is another reason for it, the moment there is. And it doesn't even have to be a social event. It can be anything else. I noticed that once I'm on track to take care of myself, think about myself, that I find, well, let's say excuses for lack of a better word, or find reasons to just
Like, give me an
not do that
example of
anymore.
one. Give me an example of if I start doing this for myself, what is something that would come up that you would call it dropping yourself?
Well, it's let's see if I can find an example. So, for instance, I have a friend. We always find it difficult to find time to meet up. So, once we have a time to meet up, it usually happens that she calls like, "Oh, I can't do it this day, but I can do it that day." And she asks me, "Does it work for you?" And then I always say, "Of course it does, even though it doesn't."
Like, how would it not work for you?
Well, because I have to go for the gym to the gym, for instance, because I go to the group lessons that I plan to go to.
Okay, let me ask you this, just so we can kind of war game this a little. Is it possible that you could say, yeah, I'll meet you whenever it's convenient for you? And then you, because you have two options here. You probably have three, but let me give you the two big ones. You can tell her, of course, I can meet you. And I'm willing to move my exercise around. So I will do my exercise at another time that I may not want to, because now I'm prioritizing my friendship. And that's okay. If you're willing to say, like, you know what, when I think about it, I really love her. Like, I really like her. She's a good friend. She's worth going out with versus going to the gym at this time. I will go do something else. May not be as convenient and stuff, but I'm in charge of my time. Just because two things conflict don't mean you can't, like, come up with a solution. Or you tell her, I would love to, but I'm already committed on that day. Can we come up with another one? Let me tell you the days I have open and get back with me if any of that time works. And that's where you're just like, you know what? I'm not being selfish. We're just both looking out for our own time schedules and needs. Because I do both. Like in my life, I have some friends that I know have a much more open, like they have more flexibility in their stuff. And so when they ask me stuff like that, I tell them, hey, these are the only times I could do it. Like, you know, that kind of stuff, because I know our relationship. I have other friends that they're like, they've got a lot of kids. Like they've got way more obligation than I do. You know, I just have my work and stuff. And I tell them, like, you tell me the available times, let me rearrange some things. Even if it means me rearranging when I like working out, when I like doing things. Just because you like to work out at a certain time and that's the class you love, that doesn't mean it's the only way to get in your fitness. If you're willing to say to yourself, I'm not being selfish. What I am is someone who's flexible. Because I think the way you've got it set up right now is weight loss is inflexible. I am either on like Donkey Kong, laser focused, and I can't be distracted 1 ounce, or it all falls apart. And then I'm just party girl going with whatever, doing things and highly unmotivated. I want you to think about, where's your middle? Because the middle is where your weight loss is going to happen.
Yeah.
And not only your weight loss is going to happen there, but losing weight in a way where you have the life you want is in the middle. It's never going to be on the selfish, I have to give up everything extreme. That's why weight loss doesn't last, because at some point you miss your friends. At some point you want your human connection. And if the only way to lose weight is for you is to cut all that out, you'll always regain your weight back because you haven't learned how to blend them.
Yeah, I think that was part of the reasons why everything's like, why I piled the weight back on, because it was like, I have to go. I want to go to go Zumba on Friday, but all my friends are going to go have drinks on Friday, you know, and they asked me one time, they asked me two times. But at some point they say, you're not going, you have to go to the gym, you know, and they're just dancing away at Zumba thinking like, what am I missing here, you know, and I love Zumba. So that's just, I really have to work on that, that a bit more. Yeah.
Yeah. And learning how to go out with your friends, like if you're wanting to lose weight and you decided you're not going to drink, that's what I've been working on. We went to Vegas and I didn't drink, but I didn't even drink half the trip. It was so enlightening to go and be social and just be me while everybody else is partying. At first, my brain wanted to throw a fit, like I'm really missing out. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm right here. I'm not missing out. Pay attention to what's important. Like that's what I kept telling myself. Pay attention to what's important. You're getting the best of both worlds. You're here. You can have fun the moment you decide, to start thinking about having fun versus thinking about what you're missing out on. Okay.
Yes.
All right. We're going to the gym on Tuesday.
I'll send you.
And we're going to figure out how to take care of ourselves because we deserve it while having a social life because it's important to us. Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I love coaching on having a social life while losing weight. I feel like so many diets, like they almost make it impossible. Like when you have to, I want y'all to think about this. I was thinking about this the other day. I've like traveled literally for 12 straight days and just ate out every single meal. And I was sitting there thinking how great it is to be able to go and not have to count a calorie and not have to say, I'm going to stay in my room because I don't want to be tempted, like all those things. I literally just took it meal by meal, ate slow. And I remember so many meals at the end. I was just like, my goal is to leave some behind. Like, no, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a bowl of lettuce. I'm going to leave some stuff behind because I'm going to get used to leaving food behind when I'm eating out. Because I know that restaurants, number one, they always overserve you. It's very rare a restaurant doesn't overserve you. And number two, you know, it's got like shit in it that I wouldn't normally be eating. So I also didn't want to have to be shit in my pants. So I was like celebrating myself going, this is how you do it. This right here. Being uncomfortable with, you know, like I was staying at this one hotel in California and I could not have a meal for less than $50. I don't give a shit what I kept like, because I'm cheap, y'all. I am like pretty cheap. And I kept trying to figure out how I could like eat cheap. And every single time it was like $50. And my small child in me, who was very poor growing up, was literally like clutching. If she had pearls, she clutched them every time. And I could feel it in my body like, oh my God, you paid so much money for this and stuff. And I kept reminding myself, you did not pay for the amount of food. You paid for you to be able to eat. You're paying for you to have enough food. That is all we're paying for. So get off the high horse that somehow, if you overeat, you got your money's worth. No, if you overeat, you just wasted life. That's it. We cannot afford that narrative, y'all. None of you can afford that narrative. It is an expensive one. And it will cut years off your life. It will make sure that you are jacked up on meds someday to have to compensate for everything you've overate. Like, it's an expensive toll when you are in the clean plate club because you're afraid of how much you spent. All right. Let's see. What time is it? All right. Let's do one more. Amy. Oh, yeah. Oh, let me make sure I'm not. Hang on. I didn't realize there were calls after me today. Let me just. Corinne doesn't need to jack some suit on. All right, we have to be done by noon because at 12 o'clock, Coach MJ, I believe it's going to be, is doing the getting into action call, which is go ahead and take your, unmute yourself and stuff. And that's a 30-day success plan for anybody who's new or anybody who wants to like kind of restart. You can come and she teaches you how to use the No BS weight loss program to best set yourself up for success. We host that call regularly for people. That's going to start at noon today, which is in 30 minutes. I don't want to get a notification from Busy Cow. No, do I want to do a rating and review right now? It's like, no, motherfucker, I don't. All right, Amy, what do you want coaching on?
Okay, I'll try to be quick. Talking about in your life, I work night shift. And so there are days that I work overnight and then I want to stay awake on my days off and do stuff with my family. Sorry, yeah. I'm nervous.
You're fine. Don't worry about it.
And I'm working on trying to not eat to stay awake. I want to, you know, I'm trying to cut out the snacking part and the living off caffeine and all that kind of stuff. Cause on my days off, I want to be able to sleep at night with my husband and that kind of stuff. So,
well, that's awesome. That's
what I need to work on.
So what do you need help with? Just telling yourself, like, look, I'm just like, here's Amy, this is going to probably be easy coaching.
Okay.
You can tell me why, you can tell me why you hate this. You're just going to be tired on those days.
Yeah, no, I know. I choose to be tired. I keep telling myself that. Because like my daughter is in.
This is worth being tired for.
Yeah, this is worth it. It's worth the process. Yes. But I just want to, I don't know. I feel like I'm mindlessly eating, snacking just to stay awake instead of physically.
You're not eating to stay awake. You need to tell yourself, I'm not eating to stay awake.
Okay.
I'm just overeating right now.
Okay.
Like, you need to every time, you think you're eating to stay awake.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you this. If I removed all the food out of your house, let's just say the next day this happens, I come Hamburglar in the middle of the night, rob right. your house of food, and you just had to sit there with your family and do what you normally do.
Uh-huh.
And then I would deliver a meal when you all could have one. Could you stay awake? Or did you just be like, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah. No, I could stay awake for sure.
Yeah. That's why we have you keep having a thought. You think it's true. Eating keeps me awake.
Right.
No, eating keeps you from thinking about how tired you are.
Right.
It is not keeping you awake. It's keeping you from, if I eat something, then I'm not so focused on how tired I am. I just want you to be with them and be like, I love that I'm the kind of person who will be tired as fuck all day long. I'm just going to be really tired. I'm probably not going to like how tired I am.
Right. Yeah.
That's the sexy sell for the day.
That's right. I keep telling myself, my daughter's in the football marching band and I go to games and stuff. And I'm telling myself I'm staying awake to go to these games. So I have good memories and I enjoy time with my family and I don't need to go to the, snack bar there at the games every time just to stay awake.
I tell myself, from now on, just to start with the truth that every time you eat, you say, this is not helping me stay awake. This is just helping me not lose weight. That's all this is doing.
Okay.
And I just say, I can be tired. I probably just don't like being tired.
Right.
I'm eating because I'm not telling myself often enough that this won't keep me awake.
Okay.
Because we know you can do it without the food.
Right.
The food just erases you thinking how tired you are.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
And that's for all of you, whether you do night shift or not, when you're just doing this bullshit snacking and stuff, mm-hmm. food is never truly making you feel better. The only time food makes you feel better is if you're fucking starving and it's been 4 days and you haven't been able to eat. The first time you eat, you'll feel physically better.
Right.
But none of us are doing that. So food is never actually comforting you. It's an expensive story y'all tell.
Mm-hmm.
What I would tell myself is food distracts me from my uncomfortable thoughts. Because that's all it's really doing. It's never actually comforting. It's never really giving you a big bunch of energy. Because even when you eat, are you just like, hot damn, now I'm going to stay up for 2 days.
No.
It's definitely not doing what your brain keeps saying it is. So now we just got to interrupt that story some.
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you.
It's so nice of you though, to do that. My mom, she worked nights a lot when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And so I feel your pain because I remember my mom, fucking looking like a staggering drunk because she was tired and trying to function during the day when on her days off she wanted to be with us.
Uh-huh. And
she was just, I could tell as a kid how haggard she was. It's not easy. So I if you don't do anything, at least celebrate yourself that you're the kind of mom that is doing all this for your family.
Right. Okay. I will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. I swear to God, that was probably the the truest yet most unwelcome advice ever, which is like, no, you're just gonna have to be tired and you're gonna have to have thoughts that you don't like it, but it's worth it. And we're still not gonna eat over it. So much of weight loss, y'all, is about feeling your real feelings, like not trying to feel good. If you think about why so many of us are overweight, it's because we're always trying to feel better. And what we don't really realize is there's a lot of times in life we're not supposed to feel good. And so how do we raise our tolerance level for feeling not great, for being actually tired, for these other things? We're not supposed to. The only people in the world who are happy all the time are, you know, laying around drunk or high. That is why drugs and alcohol and stuff are so pervasive. It's because people don't want to feel those things. But I will tell all of you, the more you feel your real emotions, when you really start experiencing your life without overeating, you start noticing, not only can I feel things and be okay, feelings do end, but you start also noticing, where are the times I'm creating my own negative emotion that I am like, this might be a little extra, like saying I'm being selfish if I lay down on the couch. Like that's the extra that we don't need. And then where am I legit upset? Like they're saying that I was, you know, like our I think it was Erica, our person who was like, they say I'm just going after my daddy's money. And they're wrong. I really care about him. Like, then we want to be upset. Then we want to hold our line. Like, no, that is not what's happening here. And I'm disappointed that they would think that about me. And I'm proud of me for not believing the story. So we like, the more you allow yourself to experience your real life, when you take the food away, you start really seeing your life for what it is. And some parts you're like, no wonder I've been eating. I need to work on this. And some parts you're just like, oh my God, I'm creating so much drama for myself. Like, what if I didn't blame people for things? What if I didn't like for me, and then I'll close this out. I swear to y'all, me working on loving me really did change so much of my life, because Chris and I didn't have to argue as much. I didn't have to like pick at him to get him to tell me how much he loved me. I didn't have to like say things like, you know, well, you know, you didn't do this, so you must not love me. And then hear him plead, no, I really do, baby. Like, you're wrong. Like, I was always doing shit like that when we were first married, because I didn't think a man would ever really love me. And so I always had to test it. I needed to see it all the time. And I tested in very negative ways. When I really started working on loving me and like understanding how just like I'm a good person and seeing my positive traits and stuff, I didn't need him doing that anymore. So I didn't have to start arguments. I didn't have to read into shit that wasn't there anymore. So, but I had to see my life for what it was without food to even notice, like, I don't love me very much. This is a problem and we're going to solve it. Okay. Y'all, are you wearing your new ring? I am wearing my new ring. Y'all, the only time I take it off is to lotion and workout. That's it. Otherwise, it is pretty much on this. It's on lock right now. All right. Y'all have a good one. If you want to come back for the 30-day success call, it's going to start at the top of the hour in 20 minutes with Coach MJ. Otherwise, I will see y'all. I will see y'all Wednesday morning on Zoom. And then I will see a lot of y'all this weekend. About, I don't know, 3,000+ of you are coming to No BS Camp virtually and in person. It's a fucking lot of No BS women. I am so ready. We have not had camp in over a year, or right about a year. So I'm ready to take the stage, and it's going to be great. And it's not too late to sign up. It's going to be amazing. So get in while you fit in. All right, y'all. Bye.